Hey, what's up, guys? This is Dude2K from Cloud9, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Yesterday, a date which will live in infamy. There is no blinking at the fact that our people and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
Stewie versus Kenny, the smell of gunfire and freedom in the air, and Stewie picking up that kill, and Cloud9 are in the semi-finals. Oh my God, what a story. They shut down G2 almost flawlessly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Taco can't do anything, the pandemonium is 16 rounds, and Cloud9 are in the grand finals of a major tournament. Nobody saw this coming.
Nobody saw this coming.
Cloud9 is
your, eventually
that
you're
is
be
your
right on this.
TCR lock of the major. Cloud9 is going to win it. Cloud9 is going to take the major in Boston, handedly, yeah. I might add. I don't know if they're ever going
to
lose.
My again. Fellow Americans, tonight I want to speak to you about what the United States will do to degrade and ultimately destroy.
Stewie's on his side, but look at the time! Look at the time! There's 7 seconds to blow the bomb! They're trying to build pyramids, but it's no more clay! Stewie's on the round! We're going to overtime!
Cloud9 has done it!
Do not allow anyone to tell you that it cannot be done. No challenge can match the heart and fight and spirit of America. We will make America great again.
From this position before, he cannot miss a single shot. Guardian waits patiently as Cloud9 sets the push up. Oh! Oh, it's happened! They made it work! Cloud9! Champions!
Yes, 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 yes. That is correct, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Hello. Alongside me, though, as always, we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
That was a win for Apple Pie, Bald Eagles, NACS, and Murica.
That's right, my friend.
Still have goosebumps.
And we have Anuj here as well. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, buddy? It's like the dream episode, is it not?
It really is. We normally record on Wednesdays, and after the final yesterday, I was like, no. We have to record today, and there was no time. I could not sit on the thoughts and the feelings from yesterday's finals until Wednesday night. This is episode.
We have voices, man.
We were yelling a lot.
I just want to stop it down and just apologize to you, Tim. I'll never doubt you again, buddy. All right.
Don't.
I'll never laugh at your Cloud9 prediction Don't. Again.
It's okay.
I'm
I forgive.
Board. I'm
I forgive
with you, buddy.
You know, when you're correct, right?
Oh yeah,
you got to be the bigger man. I'm not going to rub it in your
right.
guys' faces.
And
okay?
And I'm gonna, yeah, I'm here.
That's very Thorne of you.
Sorry.
Well,
yeah,
you know, and I learned from the best. I learned from the best. This is episode 91 of The Center Ring. It is January 29th, 2018, 9:02 p.m. Central Standard Time. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can go to our website, tcr.gg. Hit up all of our social media. Our Discord server is there. YouTube. Follow all of that to make sure that we live on into perpetuity. Be a part of the community. All that fun stuff. Okay, so this is episode 91. We're doing it a couple days earlier because, of course, if you could not tell from the intro, Cloud9 are your official E-League Major Boston Major. Whoa. What?
Major.
That was a very major. Champions. We officially have a North American champion, and we want to start the show off with that. But afterwards, we will have a small thing of Clutch or Kick, everyone's favorite game show, where we choose the stories and tell you if you really need to pay attention. So will they clutch the round and stay for another day, or will they be kicked? And, of course, we will end the show with E-News, as always. But, gentlemen, we have a lot to discuss about this Boston Major that just wrapped up yesterday. And I really don't even know where to start. You know, normally in the pre-show meeting, we have, like, formats to go over, storylines. And there's one storyline that matters. And that is Cloud9 started 0-2 in the Legend stage, grasping the jaws of life, right? And moving on to the champion stage to face their nemesis, G2. Everyone had their doubts, of course, except for me. And they ended up beating G2, 2-0, mind you. They went 2-1 against SK, and then they met FaZe in the finals, where the rest is history. I know Anuj and I, or even Brett, joined us later on to watch the, I guess, the final map, was it? Is that when you got there, Brett?
No, it was,
Yeah, for the final map there in our Discord server. And, man, I don't know what to say about everything. Where do you guys want to start?
Let's start with the story of iBuyPower still getting unbanned, and North America finally got its first NA championship. It still needed to happen for this to happen. No, man, like, this was, like, the coolest, I don't know, if you look at the event as a whole and how this outcome happened, I think it drew in so many new people into, like, the game that we all, you know, see as Counter-Strike. And it was just, I mean, storyline after storyline. I think it'd be cool just to kind of dive into some of the games and talk about Cloud9's performance. I mean, I think that'd be only fitting.
Yeah, and you mentioned bringing in new people. I think the most I saw on the in-game viewer was about 1.4 million viewers.
Yeah.
It maybe peaked 1.5, but they just didn't show it. And that's just on in-game alone, right? Off of Twitch and people watching on CSGO TV. So it's funny. So as it went on, right, like the first map, I think we were saying, like, man, there's only like 900,000 people. That seems kind of weak, right? And then by the third map, 500,000 more people were drawn to it. Which is cool because, you know, that happened because of word of mouth, right? That's people telling people, like, yo, you got to get on. You got to watch this. This is insane.
Starts trending on Twitter. Random people start to see it even.
Exactly. And to get 500,000 people just like that is pretty spectacular. So let's start with the finals here, and then we'll kind of discuss everything on going forward. The first map was Mirage, which was Cloud9's pick, if I do remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Okay, so FaZe ended up winning 16-14, but that's after Cloud9 was up. They had a pretty decent lead on that, and I remember
They were up 8-1 in both map 1 and map 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
They took an early T-side lead.
Early T-side lead, and I remember everyone, the casters, Bardoff and DDK were saying, like, this was Cloud9's pick. They have to win it to stand a chance. And then when they lost, that was the big storyline, right? And here's my belief. You're in the grand finals at a major. You've already vetoed the maps that you're really afraid of, right? Like, if it was on Nuke or something like that, then I could understand. If it was on Cash, I could understand that point. But the fact that they didn't veto Overpass or Inferno because they still felt comfortable about them, you know what I'm saying?
But it was more so the people who they were playing against. I mean, they were playing against FaZe, who a lot of people had as the favorite. So it's like, you better take your map, because if you lose your map, maybe it's like a confidence thing. Like, wow, we just, you know, ended up choking away this lead on our map. Now we got to go on their favorite map. It's, you know, it's maybe just a confidence thing they were talking about, not so much a, you know.
Overpass even wasn't even like, I didn't feel like they were scared to play it ultimately, because they had just won. You know, the previous day against G2 on Overpass, they beat them 16-7. Mm-hmm. And so they had a lot of confidence on that map, and that was the last time they had played it. And Mirage is always one of those maps where I feel everybody is good on it.
Well, and
there's just
won...
such a comfort level there. They've won, you know, they beat SK the day before, 16-3 on it.
They beat G2 16-8 on it. So, yes, I understand it's their confidence map. Everyone has, you know, their comfort blanket. But at my point is I understand that side of it, but I also understand, like, hey, they're there for a reason, right? They had the toughest road getting to the finals out of any team in probably any major ever. And then the fact to win it, right, to play FaZe and beat it, to beat them. It's
the story of their tournament, right? Just resiliency. Like you said, they start off 0-2, they come back, win 3 in a row. And then, you know, and your emotions were running high in that last map because, you know, they were able to overcome, like, adversity. Like, they lose on their map, they come and take FaZe's map. And then in that third map, they make a couple of bonehead decisions, you know, and mistakes. And we all thought, man, you know, this is not good. You know, this is where they lose it. And they come back and win. It's just a resilient team, just an amazing effort. It was so much fun to watch.
The second map was Overpass, as we mentioned, where Cloud9 ended up winning 16-10. That was one where we were sitting in Discord saying, like, could you imagine if they didn't blow the lead on Mirage? It would be 2-0 because they needed a win like that on Overpass, right? After you lost a pretty depressing way on Mirage, you needed to come back and just punch them in the mouth. Like, there was no room for error at that point. And, dude, they took 12 rounds on CT. So that's... Map number two, I really don't remember. Oh, I do remember something stressful on map number two. Skadoodle.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, that dude was
every
giving
round.
Me a heart attack on CT. Every round, Skadoodle would run to the restrooms and hold it with an op so close. I mean, the dude has, like, it was every round. At one point, I think it was someone on FaZe. I forget who it was on FaZe, but they were flashed completely, 100% flash. I think it was Kerrigan. Knew exactly where to shoot while blind because Skadoodle kept going to the same spot round after round after round. And even then, it was like you kind of had that pit in your stomach of, like, this is not safe. Like, it's not a safe lead, Skadoodle. Stop going there. Hold off. You're crazy with an op. Just hold in the back and let your team come in to back you up. Why are you holding restrooms that close round after round? It was driving me insane.
It was crazy. They were winning, like, that CT side. Even those rounds that he was dying early in the round, they were still managing to pull off rounds on that side, right? They had such a strong CT side. It was their T side that looked like they had just never touched the map. I mean, at one point, I think, what, it was like 6 rounds in a row that FaZe rolled off. Mm-hmm. And you were like, oh, gosh, this is it. Like,
not like this.
This is just going to turn around. This is like, this is how it's going to happen. They were on, I think, 15 at the time, right? Like, they just needed to get one more round. And your heart was just palpitating, you know, in those moments.
That's just their style, and he even played that aggressive on other maps too. Like, that's just the theme of that team, and it's
not the aggression that bothered me though, because yes, Cloud9 is an aggressive team, and so is FaZe, which is what made the final so amazing to watch. What bothered me is that it was seriously like 8 rounds in a row he did it, right? Every time he had the op, he would go and hold restrooms in restrooms. It wasn't. It's like you have that spot on A to where you can kind of watch both that and long a little bit, right? Maybe especially if you have another teammate there to kind of keep an eye out for it.
It was just almost that he wasn't changing it up. He just kept doing it. I get it if you could do it a few times, but he, like, kept doing it. And like I said, at the end of the day, they were winning those rounds, so they probably didn't have the fear that we had, you know, looking at it, but... It was crazy how consistent the whole team was that game, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you looked at the kills feed there, but, you know, Tarek led the team with 22, but then he had 3 at 21, and then Rush, you know, trailing behind at 14.
Yeah.
And Rush had so many crucial rounds, I thought, in that game, too. So he was, like, a good
team. This is why you're a champion. I didn't feel like at any point anyone in Cloud9 was really lacking, right? I guess that's a characteristic of being a winner of a major, right? No, there's no one you can point to saying, man, you sucked. But everyone, at some point in time, first off, I'll say this disclaimer. I was cursing one person out in Cloud9 at any given moment, right? But even then, it's like none of them did poorly. Like, I was ready to kill Automatic and Stewie on Inferno.
Yeah, there you go. On Mirage, even, like, when it first started, because, like, this is your major, you know, Stewie, arguably your best player, just was not feeling it. And after that, you're like, oh, God, you know, if Stewie's not on, you know,
what's going to happen next?
Yeah, exactly. This team goes as mostly how he goes.
But thank God we have Tarek.
He pulled it out, yeah. Yeah.
I get why Skadoodle won MVP, right? Because you want that feel-good story of it's his first time through the... You know, he is the veteran, believe it or not, on that team. And which is weird to think, like, Skadoodle being the veteran, but he is. And I get the Hollywood story of you want him to be MVP, but let's be real. Tarek is the MVP.
Well, and Tarek got it through HLTV,
right?
Which they got it through. But yeah, they all were in the same little boat there. Their ratings across the board, a high of 1.29, a low of 0.96. Like, everybody was right there. And it was crazy because watching the games, we felt like Guardian was really the only one consistent on the other side. Where we saw five people being consistent on Cloud9. FaZe is the only person I felt like you could count on from round to round to, like, make a play was Guardian over and over again. How many times
whatever
did you
Guardian
see him hit
did
a clutch shot
that morning before the matches? Figure out what side you were sleeping on. What was the temperature of the room? What did you have for breakfast? Like, and just do that every time. Guardian looked, I want to say he looked like old Guardian, but he looked better than old Guardian. Like, I pretty much writ him off as a prime opper, but my God.
I mean, how, like, at the end of that match, at the end of Inferno, how confident were we in that second 2v1 that he was in, or 1v2? It was him versus two other Cloud9 players. How confident were we? We were like, man, they're going to pull this out. Because the way he was playing, it was like, oh my God, he's going to clutch this. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
he had done it so many times, right? Like, that 2v1 where he killed...
I mean, he sent
was
them into double overtime.
Automatic and...
Yeah, automatic in the
Tarek.
Corner over there. Yeah. And
on
B-side
Inferno.
Had just seen him do it a few rounds ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was definitely a tense situation.
Inferno, albeit that Inferno went to double overtime, right? And Cloud9 ended up winning it 22-19. That map will go down in the best map in the history of professional Counter-Strike, maybe professional gaming of all time. Like, that map was insane. You need to go back and rewatch it, even if you've watched it before. It's insane. But there were, you know, hair-pulling-out moments that Cloud9... There was one round... Also, if there's any question that I am a Cloud9 fanboy, I really wish we recorded ourselves watching the game.
I'm so happy we didn't, dude.
Oh,
so
man.
So happy we didn't.
You guys...
You would have seen a different side of Tim.
You guys saw a side of me that not many have. You saw sports watching, Tim. And
I saw Tim call the game over, like, six rounds into the match.
It was.
Walking away.
Let's just say he would owe the swear jar, like,
some
money.
Dude, I'd be broke right now. I was pounding my desk. I was saying F-bombs. Everyone on FaZe could go to hell. I was on fire. My hands were hurting because
it was like 8-5. They had just, like, pulled off, I think, was that six rounds in a row or seven rounds in a row? FaZe. That's when Brett came in and Tim's like, this is done.
This is done.
It's over.
I'll be right
it's
back.
Over.
And I remember I said, I'll be right back. And I, like, walked around the house a little bit. I was like, I gotta calm down. I'll be right back. I was on fire. That
really was one of the best rounds. Maps of CS.
But, I mean,
I've seen.
I've been a fan of Cloud9 for as long as I can remember. Right. That is. I don't feel embarrassed and I don't feel bad about it because, like, that is my team in the Super Bowl. You know, like, and our buddy Branderson was there with us, who's also a fellow Cloud9 fanboy. And I guess for the longest time, Cloud9 was kind of I don't want to say the laughing stock, but they definitely were the butt end of a lot of people's jokes, right? Not only being NA Counter-Strike, but just being Cloud9. And the fact that they finally won, dude, It was riveting. But to get back to my beef with Inferno, right? Because there was a lot of stupid moments that Cloud9 did. Okay, and I don't want to let him get away with it. There was one moment where Automatic and Stewie were holding a lot of the same spots. There was one moment where both of them were sitting behind sandbags on top of Banana on B site of Inferno. And there's no way you can, if you get stuck there, there's nowhere to go. And for whatever reason, both of them were hiding at that same spot behind sandbags. Now, I gave them the benefit of the doubt, saying, well, maybe it's to catch them off guard, because who the hell would put two people behind sandbags? Being the only two people watching the B site, even more ridiculous in that sense. And they just blew it. Like, it was like, because I even said it out loud, where I was like, man, I don't like the way this looks. And not, what, 10 seconds later, a Molly comes in. They don't peek at the same time. You know,
one flash got them both. One flash. Dude ran into them.
And it was, yeah, there were a lot of miscues on Cloud9's part on Inferno.
Yeah. And there was several scenarios like that where they were stacking up, like when they were on T side pushing past arches. And, like, they went, there was a very little small window and a smoke that they were pushing by, and they both went at the same time and lined up perfectly for an op shot. It's like, that's when I was about ready to drive to Fort Worth and be like, Tim, I'm on my way.
It's okay, buddy. There was, yeah. I mean, even in Overpass, there was that, God, it was so dumb, man. They made so many, I'm getting worked up.
Tim, you need to relax right now, okay?
I'm getting
the major.
If there, look, there's two types of people in this world, right? You have those coaches that pat their players on the back when they win and say, good job. And then you got the people like me where even after you win, you're like, all right, let's look at the tape. Where'd you screw up? Right? No congratulations for you. We gotta improve these moments. That's how I am. Right? You know, you had that night. Yesterday was my day. Today, I'm looking at the tape. On Overpass, and Anuj, you'll agree with me because I remember me and you were vocally upset about this. On A site, okay, there's going into Monster, there's the like the tunnel. Right, I'm trying to describe this for people who maybe don't play Counter Strike. Okay, there's a tunnel, one way in. It's just, you know, your normal tunnel. You just funnel in, right? So there's a smoke there, sitting there for maybe 15. You know, they keep popping smokes, and Cloud9 has all day to think about how they want to approach this. Okay, first off, it's a stupid move, anyways. Even if you're going
to eco round, though, too, mind you, right?
Yes, and. Was it an eco round?
Yeah, I think it was an eco round.
They had equipment, though.
They had done like a small
a soft
buy,
eco. Nonetheless, yeah. Though, the entire team of Cloud9, like four guys, end up running out of tunnel into Monster. No one threw a flash. No one threw a smoke. You died with utility, which just, it's one of my pet peeves in Counter-Strike, is when you die with utility. Like
throwing away money, man.
You're throwing away money, and you're throwing away opportunities and delays, right? Stewie had a smoke he could have thrown. Skadoodle had a flash. No, they run out. I think it was a miscue because you saw someone.
Olaf was just sitting right
Olaf
there.
Olaf just sitting there, and just you saw his eyes just go wide the moment he saw all of them run out. No flash, nothing. I think it was Stewie was actually running backwards. So that's why I think someone was supposed to throw a flash and they messed up. Maybe it was going to come from construction. But there was a miscue there. Just throughout the whole finals, Cloud9 had a lot of miscues. Maybe I was more self-aware, but I felt like the rounds they lost were a lot of miscues, where the rounds they won, I didn't see as many miscues on face side. It was just Cloud9 hit some nutty shots.
Look,
right?
Really, this could have been a 2-0 victory for them.
No, and that's why I'm worked up, because it could have been. A really easy final.
It could have been a runaway, but I'm glad we got that third map, because like I said, Inferno was some of the best Counter-Strike moments. I mean, it'll just go down in CSGO history for sure. And like Brett mentioned, you know, these guys started off 8-0 on the first two maps. And so it really could have been like a runaway freight train here. Obviously, you know, FaZe made the run on Mirage there. But one of the things I think we need to talk about this major, that I thought some of the biggest news is how Colzier, I think, has proven that he is the number one player in the world just because of how poor Nico played throughout the finals. I mean, he was the second lowest rated player with a 0.88, you know, in the finals. You know, even Mirage, the map they won, he was, you know, bottom frag on his team then. On Overpass, again, you know, mid fragger, but still under the 500 score line there.
Only sports fans in DFW will understand this reference. But follow me here, okay? Nico was very much like LeBron James in the 2011 finals against the Mavericks. Like, he took his talents to FaZe. Everyone expected for him to be the chosen one, and he kind of just busted. You could tell he was tilted. I think it was an overpass. he legit looked like he just had the demons risen from inside of him. He rolled the eyes so far in the back of his head.
Can we do another 2011 reference there for Mavs? Look at that. They had the hardest championship run, I felt, of like any team that year. They had the Lakers. They played OKC and then went and played the Big Five in Miami over there. Well, Cloud Nine just kind of did that same thing.
A lot
right?
of similarities to the 2011 NBA championship.
And more to your point, Tim, he looked dejected the whole entire game. And even on Inferno, when you need to, like, you need to step up. There was one instance where, you know, they were trying to defuse, I think, or maybe they weren't T side, but he was shooting the ground. And, like, we were like, he's trying to kill Skadoodle in the smoke, and he's like shooting at the ground. It's like, what is he doing?
Like, even I know if I move my mouse that far down, I'm looking at the ground.
Probably aiming
at
my feet.
He just looked way off. And
I wonder how much of that
is going to follow him around, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I wonder how much of that is him being hard on himself, which is okay, right? And how much of it is him just, like, looking at Rain or someone thinking, like, you're holding me back, right? Like, is it him being hard on himself, or is it him looking at his teammates thinking, this is your guys' fault?
I think he's more just an emotional player because this is a good team. Like, the team of rock stars, like, they're all really good players.
Yeah,
I mean
I've never talked to Nico. I have
no one's going to feel bad for you in Nico's case if you play this on your team.
This is
you look
first...
at the team. It's Olaf, Guardian, Kerrigan, and Rain. You couldn't ask for, like, a better. I mean, maybe Kerrigan, right? But as far as the in-game leader goes, Kerrigan's one of the best when you combine the two as far as fragging and in-game leading. So this was, and Nico, you got to remember, they put him in positions to frag. Like, it's not like, oh, he's playing a support role. So, like Taco, he might not get as many kills, but he's contributing in different ways. Like, Nico needs to be fragging along with Olaf for them to win. And he didn't post over a 1.0 rating in any game. I mean, I think he had literally a 1-to-1 ratio in one game. The other two came in, you know, under 500 and underwhelming. And so...
Well, I mean, if you look, and it's not even like the entire tournament, it's just that one, for whatever reason, it was just that championship match, because against Na'Vi, he was 43-23.
Oh, yeah,
like,
he was right.
He was on fire. So, I don't know, man. He just looked like he just wasn't himself. Like, he just looked dejected the whole time, looked down on himself. Like,
hey, look, pressure does that to you. You know, pressure can overcome people, and we've yet to see Nico in, you know, they haven't won a major. This team needs to win a major.
The numbers in front of you, Nuge, doesn't HLTV show clutches? Do they have a stat for clutches? Am I making that up?
They do, but you have to go a little deeper in than where
I'm
at right now.
I'm curious to see what Guardian's clutches were for the major, because I really feel like in the finals, like, if it wasn't for some just breathtaking ops from him, then you wouldn't, they wouldn't have even looked close to what we would think of as the phase that we know. They don't have the stat directly here.
One-on-one clutches for Guardian is what I can see, but not like,
okay, just
you literally
in general
have to click on 1v2, 1v3,
okay,
you have to go through
a never mind. But he did have a lot. I felt like in the finals, I mean, Guardian, if I know it's kind of faux pas and looked down upon to give a losing team MVP, right? If they would have given, like, if HLTV would have given it to Guardian, I think I would have been okay with it, because he was legit one of the only reasons FaZe looked remotely into this finals.
Yeah, it really was one round of another with him.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, they were both equally awesome, Tarik and Guardian. Like, I mean, Tarik had his special moments too. Like the 1v2 that he had, you know, on Inferno, where, you know, he took the op down Banana and was looking at Sight. There's that one. And then there was the other one where the round would have just fell apart. He stayed behind at Banana for a rotate, you know, because Olaf was trying to go in behind to A. And, you know, he just stopped it dead there. So, I mean, he had his, like, shining moments, his, like, oh, my God moments. So, they were both awesome.
Yeah. I know. We were even calling hacks on Guardian. We were saying, like, check his computer. Check the computer.
Branderson was about to, like, literally fly to Boston to check if that dude was on something. I thought he was going to lose his mind.
Listen. Okay, there's a difference, right? When I lose my mind, it's just me yelling a lot and very angrily, right? But then quickly I calm down and I get back to it. You can't reason with Branderson. That dude gets upset and it's game over.
It's quick just, to call hacks.
Yeah, just, nah, man, I mean, that was a legit kill. It looked good. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
It's like, okay. Like, I get it when we call hacks and we're playing fives, okay. But... it's hard to call it on Guardian.
I love it. I love it. Some other notable, that's the word I'm looking for, storylines in here. QBF, they did lose 2-0 to Na'Vi, which I think is what everyone was thinking. But, man, it was great to see them on stage. You know, the crowd got around them, right? That was fun to see there.
And they got invited to FPL right after the event was over.
They got an instant invite, so that's good to see them sticking around.
Two of their players in the show match. So for them, this was just, I mean, this was the gold medal for them, right?
Getting to the main stage was their finals. Yeah.
The legends.
It was awesome. Mouse Sports looked pretty poor. I was kind of let down on that. I know they went to overtime on Nuke of all maps to go overtime on, but they went 2-0 on FaZe. On Saturday, they do this goofy thing, and they do this at all the majors. And every major, this comes into a talking point saying that this is ridiculous. Players say they hate it. The fans say they hate it. And no matter what, though, Valve is still like, there's literally no way we can do it any other way. We have thought of everything, and there's no possible way to fit all the quarterfinals into one day. So SK and Fnatic have... they kind of do the short straw on this weird schedule where they play their quarterfinal game on Saturday, and then later that same day, they're going to have to play a semifinals, in this case against Cloud9. So Cloud9 had like an extra rest day to prepare. They could rest and everything there. So SK and Fnatic go the distance. And I'm not even like joking when I say...
yeah, that was an overtime game, a 16-14 overtime loss for them, and then a 16-14 win and a 16-12 win. I mean, it really went down to the wire.
There was a minor tech delay.
They were out.
A minor tech delay involved, but I think like the whole time of the entire match was close to like 5 hours.
That's a marathon.
It was, and to think you're going to have to play a game. The match ended when Cloud9 was supposed to start. So, and that was without FaZe and Na'Vi even playing, right? So I get it. That's ridiculous that you're going to have to play a game later that day. Completely understand. It's every major that it's like that. I don't know if maybe you have quarterfinals back in Atlanta at the E-League Studios, and then just Saturday and Sunday are the semifinals and finals, right? You just have the two matches. On Saturday and then make your finals championship Sunday. Maybe that's not worth the money renting out a giant stadium for. I don't know. I don't know why they do it the way they do. But listen, I do feel for FaZe. That's got to be a beating. My one funny story, though, about the Cloud9 SK game. Okay, so with it being pushed so far back, because I think it was supposed to start at like 2 o'clock or something our time, but it didn't start until like... close to what, 6 o'clock?
Yeah, right, it was
pretty late. So it threw off all of our schedules. We couldn't watch it as much as we wanted to. So I get home from work, and my wife is like, "Hey, do you want to go to church tonight or tomorrow?" Being Sunday morning, and I was like, "Well, I'd much rather watch Cloud9 in the finals than the semifinals. So let's go tonight. So tomorrow I don't even have to think about leaving the house." And So already I was pretty cocky at that point. So I go get dressed, and I'm wearing my Cloud 9 rubber band bracelet and my Cloud 9 tank top. And my wife is like, you cannot wear that to church. And I was like, I'll put a shirt on over it, but I gotta have my boys be blessed. So I went to church. I did my Hail Marys. You know, I'm not a religious guy. I should say that. I'd really just go to make the wife happy. And
we're learning a lot about you, Tim.
I'll say this. It's a non-denomination church, right? So it's not like one specific religion, I guess. There's such thing as church hot. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad at all. Next time you go to church, just be a little bit more observant around you.
I don't know how to respond to this, Anoush.
You'll notice
So, yeah, I mean, Automatic played great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You
don't got
to act weird about it. My point is,
I
was at church. Yeah. Let's not act like you guys never look. But I was at church, so I missed the first map. I get out of church to see Cloud 9 winning 16-3. I was like, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I was pretty pumped. And then I come home to see them lose 16-8. And already casting them out of the major. I was like, Cloud 9's the worst team in the world.
Tim is on his way back at that point, back to church, to catch the late night service.
I just whip a U-turn. It's just, I got unfinished business here.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to play some funny audio, though, for you guys. Let me pull this up, because albeit the major always does produce some pretty funny audio here. So this is an audio clip of Anders. So I know the nickname for Skadoodle was always Skadaddy, right? Or Skadaddy, however you want to say it. But I've never really felt everyone embrace it as much. But here's a call from Anders, and it cracked me up.
What can Fur possibly do? He needed somebody else to stay alive, and that just hasn't happened. The Molotov, he's going to challenge him. But Skadoodle, the hero, Daddy's here for the triple. And 15 rounds now for Cloud9.
Just something about him yelling, Daddy's here with the triple. it cracked me up. You have here, so Golden Boy was the stage host at this tournament. And I know in Counter-Strike, he did ESL Dallas, and I think that might have been like his one of only events for Counter-Strike, because people still act like you don't know who Golden Boy is, right? But he's been around. He does a lot of tournaments and all that. Anyways, so it's his moment. He's introducing all the teams, and here is Golden Boy introducing Cloud9, North American team in a grand finals.
Representing the United States of America! Welcome to the stage, Cloud9!
I love Golden Boy. I think he missed the mark on that, though. If he had to do that one over, I would like to think maybe he went for a different octane.
Even beyond the cracking voice, it's just like I was expecting him to say, like, in standing in at 6'5", 290 pounds.
Yeah, it was a big,
he's got a good voice. He was just like in the wrong, like, didn't hit it right.
Cloud9! Oh, the poor guy, man. It was a shining moment. It's a major. And it's like,
I want to hear it one more time.
Cloud9!
It's a mixture of, like, way too excited. And then I want to say, like, if you listen closely, too, he doesn't even finish the word nine. It's more like Cloud9!
It's like maybe he didn't know if he was just wanting to be, like, loud or deep voice.
Probably just like, F it, like, I'm done. Moving on.
It's just...
Man.
That's
gold. That is
gold, that
is,
boy. Just...
Yep.
I'm knocking on the guy. I just think it instantly.
I like him a lot, though.
We can all agree.
Instantly,
that we like him,
though, like in the Discord, everyone was like, "Whoa!"
We all responded. Everybody, it's like, Tim, did you hear?
Did everyone hear that? Like, you know, one thing too, Elik has always been known for its background music, And I just, this one, they really just hit it out of the park. I just want to play it one more time before I never hear it again.
I'm calling you from the future to
I never hear this song in my life again. I'll be back.
And I'm back with the madness. I'm a champion of the people who don't believe in champions. I got nothing but dreams inside. I got nothing but dreams. I'm just young enough to still believe, still believe.
Just every commercial break for the entire major, the entire 3-week event, they played that song every break. Which was every 2 minutes.
In my dreams.
I'm going to have nightmares about that. Here was, in case anyone just maybe recently forgot, but I'm going to play them again. Here is 2017's background music. This one I didn't think was as bad. I thought, you know, it's okay. I didn't think that one, though, to me was a little bit more just kind of production music, right? It wasn't like as like and then you didn't have like some weird guy in the background going like, I'm a champion. Like, I didn't, it's just, maybe that's a real song, I don't know. And then here was 2016. This is what E-League originally debuted. And I don't even think it lasted the full year. I think, like, so many people made fun of it that they just stopped it. But That was the beauty. That was the greatest. The OG. E-League, gotta love them, but Mike.
That doesn't get you hyped to play Counter-Strike or watch it.
Yeah, man, I want to play Match right
it's
now.
It's almost as annoying as Valve's music when you enter the game.
I just... You got TBS money. You can buy more than one song. I promise you. Like, you could probably email a few people and they would give you... Hell, dude, at this point, just go on Twitch and play... What is it? Mad Cats? No, not Mad Cats. Music Cat, right? Isn't it just Music Cat on Twitch? It's like that music channel that goes all the time.
24/7.
Just play that in the background, for the love of God, man! You can't have a three-week
Monster Cat, right?
Monster Cat. That's what it is. For everyone's insanity, I cannot hear the one more time. I was. Especially like afterwards when they went to break like every other minute. I don't know if they didn't have anything to say. But those commercial breaks with no commercials are super important to E-League. Let me tell you. Well, let's see here, boys. Do you want to get into a quick clutch or kick?
Let's do it.
All right, we have a few topics to get to. Speaking of production value, we got to make some production value for this. It's a reoccurring segment. For now, let's just So for clutch or kick, God. Gentlemen.
It's so loud.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
My ears are bleeding.
Oh God, yeah, dude,
Okay, you're bleeding because it's so good.
Yeah, man.
I can't put our listeners through that. That's just too rough. It's too rough for our listeners to constantly listen to that thing. They had 3 weeks of it. It's enough. All right. Clutch or kick time, boys and girls. This is our segment that we do occasionally where we basically take headline stories and let you know if they clutch the round and stick around for another day, a.k.a. should you really pay attention to them? Are they legit? Or do they fail and get the boot and you don't have to pay attention to it anymore? Our first topic for this episode is ESL signing with YouTube. Now, this happened a couple weeks ago. I realize this, but last week was our major preview, so a lot of these we didn't get a chance to fully discuss, which is why we're throwing them here. So ESL signed on with YouTube, meaning ESL Pro League, ESL 1, all the Counter-Strike events, Dota, anything like that is going to be now on YouTube Live. Or, I'm sorry, not YouTube. Facebook
Live.
You guys didn't even correct me. I said it like 100 times. They signed with Facebook. They were with YouTube. They signed with Facebook Live. And it didn't go so well for them. Like, even, like, the initial reaction of people, people were a little upset. And then Dota ESL 1 happened. And people were even more upset because, A, I tried looking for it. I don't know where to go on Facebook to find these things. Do you?
No, I didn't. And it's not mobile friendly either when you're trying to look for it. You know, it's not like a quick, easy, just go to Facebook and there I can view what I want. Maybe they're, you know, that's something that they're all working on, but you kind of wish they had this stuff ready to go when you're about to premiere like your first true gaming.
Well, in ESL 1 too, like even like in Counter-Strike, that's normally like their big tournament, you know? That's not a little tournament for them. Even
no, not at all, yeah.
So I tried looking for it. I understand the beef. People don't like it on Facebook because, A, it's Facebook, right? And people just kind of have that stigma against it. That's whatever. You don't need to log in. You don't even need an account. You can find it in other ways. That's fine. What really started all of this drama, though, was Dota and Valve, they have this agreement where anyone can host any tournament on Twitch. You don't need to be the main tournament provider. If it's on Dota, you know, if it's in the game client, then you can watch it and present it for your own stream. Well, people started doing this. Admiral Bulldog, a popular streamer, former pro. You had, like, the Brazilian Beyond the Summit stream doing this. You had big guys streaming, and all of a sudden they started getting tweeted at by people from whether it be ESL or Epicenter,
or
whoever.
The venue
right?
itself.
Correct. Like, it was a mess. No one really knew where it was all coming from. But asking them to stop or they'll be taken down of Twitch. Then it started happening where certain streamers were getting taken down. And it started all this backlash with ESL where the actual storyline of ESL and it being on Facebook wasn't even the issue anymore, right? It was how ESL was basically telling everyone to F off and get over it. It is what it is at this point, right? It turned into this whole basically talent versus the fan, right? And the fan just, the talent had this kind of smug way about it, basically making the fan seem like this is just beyond you, right? The fact that people pay money for this is, it's beyond your, you know, your way of life to even recognize or understand what's going on. Did you guys get the same vibe from it than I did?
Well, what's the, I mean,
my,
are we
well, I, am I just discussing it at this point? The clutcher kick.
Yeah.
My clutcher kick is, there's really two here, okay? Clutching or kick, ESL going to Facebook. And then clutcher kick, this attitude
streaming.
Between, yeah, just like there's so much layers to this story, really, but it's just ESL going to Facebook and then the attitude between like fans and then the company and talent, right?
Okay,
where there's a major disconnect there.
So it moving to Facebook, I'm a definite like kick on that, especially more to your point. I mean, if not being able to view on your phone's a big thing, I watch about 95% of my esports watching is on my phone. So if I can't easily get it on my phone and watch a match, that's a problem. So I'm kicking that. Now, as far as the talent coming out and just, you know, ultra defending, you know, the platform, I'm going to clutch that because honestly, that's their employer. Who's going to come out and just like bash their boss or just like talk down on, you know, a new product or something like that? I mean, you can't really get on them too much about that, because if I was getting paid to, you know, talk about video games, I'd be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm on board, sure, mm-hmm, yeah. You just become more of like a yes man at that point, because that's where that's your livelihood. You know, you can't really talk down on that, is my point. I don't know. But
I think there's a way, though, to do it better than what they were. Because, I mean, even like ESL later came out today and made an apology about how they handled it all, because it was in such poor taste. And look, I get it, right? I get that, you know, for talent, these are either your – it is either your employer now or a potential future employer, right? This is all contract-based work. But it's just the way that some of them – it's just – to me, I don't know. It really rubbed me the wrong way, the way I saw some of the talent talking to fans like that. You know, it's like – I get it where – I think it was Richard Lewis that said, like – someone said, well, what about us, the consumers? And I don't want to say Richard Lewis. It might have not been him. But someone on Twitter was like, consumers pay for things. You're not paying for this. Therefore, you should just be happy about it. That's like, well, that doesn't make – like, that's not right at all.
Yeah for because, me, I mean, we're viewing – like, we're viewing and giving that particular event views, and sponsors aren't going to sponsor something unless views are there. So from that standpoint, yeah. You know, my opinion matters. I have a stake in this, because if I'm not watching, sponsors aren't going to sponsor, and then you have no event, right? So,
yep.
I don't know.
So you say, what did you say? Clutch to.
So I'm clutching, you know, the talent just speaking out against the Facebook move, but I am kicking the move to Facebook as just a bad idea.
Anuj?
All right, so I'm going to be pretty easy on this. I'm basically kick and kick here. Kick for the whole move from ESL to Facebook. I love ESL. I love that they've had us at events before. So no hate on them as a company. I don't like this particular move, though. I mean, this move to me, if you're going to do it, I feel like... Okay, so if you're going to do this, you need to have it done properly. And they should have known this just from Oculus's announcement of being bought out by Facebook. There was so much hate towards Facebook within techie communities and gaming communities. We don't like to be told, you know, this is the platform it's going to go through. Facebook is not viewed in that kind of like positive light amongst those age groups. Now, from a business standpoint, it might make sense, right?
It's not even viewed as a live broadcasting standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, but like Facebook also didn't make sense to necessarily buy Oculus, right? But it's worked out really well for Oculus in the long run because of all the funding that they've gotten from Facebook. They've been able to run as their own entity and like still build that brand up with all the money behind them. Now they can get the best of the best. So Facebook has money, right? So making the move itself from a business standpoint might not be the worst idea. But what I think is bad is the fact that Facebook wasn't ready to launch an event. They weren't ready to like host an event. You couldn't find the damn stream. It's not working properly on most people's mobile. It's very laggy. Doesn't even really work that well on like, you know, if you have one of the apps on your televisions to be able to do it on, you know, heck, even on your PC, it's not streaming that nicely. So all of those things should have been ironed out before you did this, because you knew, they had to know they were going to get some sort of backlash. So on the back end, what should you do? Put out a badass product. Like, have your product on point. Make it easy for people to find on Facebook. You know, have it at a high 1080p or a 720p 60fps stream. Like, make it worth people's while and prove them wrong. Like, hey, Facebook can do this right. But then you got the product that you got, and then you're over here watching the CSGO major this weekend, and you're like, wow, like, look at what you could potentially be missing out on by making this move. Again, in the long run, it might be worth it, but in the short run, I'm a 100% kick on that. As far as the other issue of the talent goes, tweeting out to these people that were streaming it, look, they can go screw themselves for all I care. Like, you're allowed to do it. You are allowed to stream it as long as you're not monetizing it towards you. And a lot of people were like, oh, he was getting subscribers from it. Like, what about his graphic arts? Well, until they put out a rule that tells you otherwise, you're allowed to do it.
Right.
So if it's easier for me to access. Yeah, Valve backed him up.
Yeah.
Valve was like, look, we didn't tell him to take it off. It wasn't us that said it. So if he did it out of respect to the game, you know, the talent that was telling him to do it, or the people like the, you know, venue managers that were voicing their opinion, that's, you know, that was completely up to him. But he had a lot of viewers, and for what reason? Either A, he's good at hosting it, which seems like a pretty basic thing to do. Okay,
it seems like a pretty basic. That was the funny thing is it was not good.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So then B, what's the other reason? It was easy to access. Yeah. So people went to it to be able to access it. They didn't care that this guy wasn't good at it, but hey, I can find it. It looks good. It's running smooth. I'll turn the volume down. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, so I definitely feel they are employed by these guys. None of them are going to sit there, and maybe honestly in this case, well, no, I'm not even going to say that. None of them are going to sit there and bash them for making the move. Even if they disagree with it, they can't come out and say, ESL sucks and is stupid for making this move. I really hate Facebook. Well, guess what? You're going to be like Thorne, and you're going to be unemployed at most of the major tournaments. So you can't totally come out and do it, but I don't like how quickly they were to jump on some of these people's back, telling them what to do when there are no rules out there of, you know, stopping them from doing what they were doing.
Well, and even then, it's like they were jumping on him too, just about their opinion, right? It's like, what do you mean you won't go on Facebook? And Launders said it. He's like, I don't want to manage three different websites. I don't want to try to find streams on three different, I don't want to keep up with it all, right? And I think he said it best. And now at this point, people aren't going to go to Facebook, not because they don't like Facebook, because they remember people's attitudes about it, right?
How negative Sadakist has been that way. They've all, Lupris or however the heck you pronounce his name, all of these guys have been so negative towards the fan base when it comes to a fan's thought process. Like, you got to look at it from how do we see it? And if you don't see it that way, hey, it's okay. But they sit there and like bash you like you're full blown like a dumbass in that situation. So I really, really didn't like that part of it. Like, that really bothered me. It, like you said, it made me jump on the other bandwagon even more, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was more hate coming out of me after I saw their tweets and whatnot.
I agree, man. It's a kick from on both of those for me. Just it really rubbed me the wrong way, the whole thing. Moving on to the next one here, real quick. KNG is officially off 100 Thieves. basically stemming from a fight he had on Twitter with Thorne. Speaking of handling yourself on Twitter, what was it basically? He made a gay reference towards Thorne, and then it kind of just escalated from there. Fallen tweeted out saying that, man, it happens all the time. We smell weed in the hotel. Thorne made a jab at Immortals about it, and then boom, all of it blew up from there. And then like the next day, 100 Thieves came out saying, yeah, KNG is no longer with us. And, of course, I died laughing, considering that's the whole reason the team left Immortals to begin with, to go play with KNG, and now he's off the team again.
Like, had this happened before the major, they would have lost their major slot because they didn't have enough people from the previous team. Just, I mean, this
you can't
like
make
ridiculous.
It up, dude. You cannot make it up. So, clutch or kick, KNG ever seeing the light of day of a top-tier pro CSGO team?
So I guess I'll go first on this one. For me, I would be, I mean, I'm a clutch. I don't know how you can't be a clutch here. They I'm glad they acted in the way they acted. Now, I know 100 Thieves is trying to be all stand up in this, right? Well, you guys brought him on in the first place. So you kind of knew what you were getting. The reason this whole thing was available to you is because of what? KNG threatening somebody's life on Twitter. So it kind of comes like full circle at this point.
It sounds
like
so ridiculous.
Dude threatened the dude's life on Twitter. And then he comes back and says what he says to Thorne, and
it
everybody
really makes
else
him
that's talking about
makes
him.
The Thorne thing so, seem not as bad when you bring up the threatening someone's life,
right? Like again, they essentially just did with KNG with what Immortals did with KNG. So now, ultimately, the only difference here is you're not going to have the other three or four teammates running away to defend him this time, right? Like there's not a whole lot you can do. I think part of this him being kicked off. In the back of my mind, I still believe a lot of this is like he's going to have visa issues and they're going to be ongoing. So boom, let's put these two together and it's like enough to move him. But I don't sit there and, you know, clap my hands and think that 100 Thieves is all saintly because they brought him on board. They, you know, put themselves in a position for it to happen to them. So I think there's a couple different reasons of why he's off the team. I do think he's done at this point. As much talent as the guy has, you've just been booted off the two premier, like, Brazilian squads. He obviously doesn't communicate that well, just based on his communication that we've seen so far. And if he does talk, it's usually talking shit. So, like, I don't think he's going to be able to find himself on another top-level team. I think he'll play well, possibly in some MDL-type leagues and all that, but I don't think we ever see him in the Tier 1 top-flight teams again.
I agree. I mainly because you mentioned the Brazilian teams, right? He's not joining a non-Brazilian team, and there's not a whole lot out there anymore to where, I mean, when you think top tier, right? You get the two, and that's about it.
Only thing he can do in English is apologize.
And even then, it's not really much of an apology. It's just kind of him explaining why he did it, but it's not really, like, this time it was weird. Like, he mentioned something about how it started involving his family. I'm like, what? Like, at what point was your family brought up in this? Like,
You're talking about 100 Thieves.
The dude is oh, is that what he meant?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure, like, he specifically brought up, like, his mom and stuff. Like, the dude is not looking good. Looking good for him.
And I'm with Anuj. I'm a clutch that he's really not going to see the light of another Tier 1 team. From this standpoint, it's not a talent thing. It's a can an ownership group, can a team count on him being there and being level-headed? We're starting to see this with other popular, you know, streamers, XQC, you know, did Dallas make a mistake bringing him on because of his persona? I mean, he is what he is. Like, we've seen it too many times with him in these situations, like that tournament they had in Canada, and then there's this instance here with Thorn, who we all know has a really good relationship with Brazilian players.
Don't get me wrong, I love to see people give it to Thorn, but
yeah, and we all do.
Put in his place, but this one here didn't make sense.
But yeah, from an ownership standpoint, and if I was starting a team, I couldn't rely on somebody like that. So I'm staying as far away from, you know, KNG as I can if I'm starting a team and want to be competitive in Tier 1.
At the end of the day, no one's bigger than the game, and that goes for any sport. So anyone that's listening, doesn't matter what sport you're in, you're not bigger than the game. You look at Tiger Woods, you look at, you know, Penn State, all these people don't need you to be successful, right? Like, you're just not needed. If Tom Brady did something, they're willing to bench him or suspend him for 6 games, even if it's a fight to do so. And what happens? The season still goes on. So as a player, you have to understand the game is bigger than you. You only get so many chances. And this dude's, like, definitely blown 2 huge opportunities. So it's just, I think it's game over for him.
Agreed. Other news that broke out today, and we've kind of already discussed this on the show before with the NBA getting into esports with their league, but a lot of other actual traditional sports are looking at this. You have, like, F1 Racing created their esports league or announced it. NHL said today that they're interested. NASCAR is looking into it. Major League Soccer. With all these traditional sports getting involved, do you guys see any market room for, like, a traditional sporting game having esports involvement?
Yeah, I mean, this is rough for me. Like, it's a half clutch or kick. For me personally, it's a kick, because just watching the games, there's too much randomness that goes on with it to counteract the skill that goes along with the game. But, you know, I could see the appeal as a fan, you know, in this. I guess, you know, I probably want to do a little bit more research and see, you know, what the details are. But, I mean, me personally, I don't really care to, you know, I'm not latching myself.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, who? If you aren't interested, who would be? Because I'm the same way. I have no interest in watching someone play FIFA or
I mean,
NBA
I just watched.
But there's a lot out
I
there.
I just
right?
watched 100,000 people watch a FIFA tournament, Ultimate Team tournament. So I mean, there's interest out there, but
I think we've kind of like done this one before, right? Like, I feel like
with
I'm a with NBA, we did this with 2K17, right? And now that league has started, and you've seen like the Mavericks have a team. They bought a team into this event called Mavs Gaming, and they've built like an esports division around it. So for me, I'm always a clutch on this, regardless of the genre of game, right? Like, I know there's games that are going to fail. Like, if that's what we're asking, I feel
right.
like that's
just
a little different.
My concern is that they're using this as their portal into, man, let's see if esports is successful, right? Where it's like, these might not be because it's just, the market isn't there, right? I don't think there's nearly as much crossover as they might be hoping for.
I agree with that, but like at the same time, I think if they're getting a taste of esports by like warming up with it be FIFA and NASCAR, NHL, whatever it may be, if they're getting their foot into the door, they're going to learn about that industry more, right? And that's where you might see some of this money or some of this interest start to flow into games that we have more interest in, right? Like put sponsorships maybe more into CS:GO or Overwatch or Dota or whatever it may be. But them getting their foot into the door and finding it just appealing enough to at least invest in a team or be, you know, sponsors of a team or whatever it may be, I think that's important for esports as a whole. As they bridge that gap between esports and sports, I think that's a good thing at some point, right? Like, as much fun as it is now to talk crap about one or the other, us three all are fans of both sides. Like, we both all enjoy your traditional Big Four, Big Five, whatever. And on the back end, we love our esports. So I think there's a lot more people out there like us that are okay with blending it. But we're just maybe not their target audience because we don't watch those games. We play them, I think, but I don't think we really watch them. But there is a group out there for it.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I just watched a FIFA Ultimate Team tournament this weekend that had 100,000 viewers. Like, I'll watch it. It's just that the games, they need to fix their game and I watched in that FIFA tournament, somebody, you know, like, they kicked a penalty. They had a penalty that really shouldn't have been a penalty awarded to them. They kick it. The goalie, like, saves it, bounces off the post, hits the goalie in the back of the head and goes in. Like, I'm watching that. I'm like, this is a joke. What are we watching here?
I couldn't have less interest in any of it. It doesn't move my needle whatsoever on any of these, you know, traditional sports in the E-League, or not E-League, but E-sports scene, you know? I don't know. It's weird. Maybe it's because I just watch the normal sport, right? I watch hockey, so I really don't want to watch someone play NHL 17 or whatever, you know? I have zero interest in it. I guess there might be some small niche group that watches it, but I don't know about the crossover as much. I don't know. I'd like to be proven wrong, but I have zero interest in any of it. But looks like I'm in the minority there. Let's get on into some e-news real quick, and then we can wrap this up here. Anuj, I know there are some Counter-Strike moves, but you want to hang on to those until next episode? Maybe we can get some more confirmed.
Yeah, that'll work.
I know there's the rumor that SK might be leaving that organization, going to Immortals. So we'll talk about that next week.
Dude, talk about a teaser right there. Jeez Louise.
I know. You like that? We call that a forward tease. We'll talk about that next week. SK, the roster of SK, I should say, leaving that organization. In Dota, we talked a little bit about it, but ESL 1, Genting did wrap up with Newbie beating Team Liquid 3-2 in a best of 5. Wish I could say I watched it, but I couldn't find it on Facebook. And then this actually happened 2 weeks ago, but with the major last week and everything, I just, bringing it up on the show completely slipped my mind. But it warrants bringing up even 2 weeks after the fact. And that is Genesis 5 ended up wrapping up. And the reason I bring this up is because the insanity that happened where Plup ended up beating Hungerbox in the finals after Hungerbox not only reset the bracket, but beating Plup 3-0. Plup came back and won 3-2. Insane. We actually talked, some of us talked about it in the Discord. It was nuts that one of the gods in Melee ended up not winning the tournament. I will say this, though. Out of the top 5 of the tournament, 5 of them played Fox. Which I'm starting to think, you know, people always bring up Hungrybox playing Jigglypuff. No one plays Jigglypuff as good as Hungrybox, so there's probably a reason for that. Maybe they need to switch it up. I don't know. And then also in Smash U, Leo ended up beating Mistake. You guys want to know why Zero could retire so quickly from the Smash scene and not really think about it?
You went to see
I mean, how could he throw away all that?
Leo ended up winning $3,370. And that's for a premier tournament in the Smash scene. Like, Genesis 5 is a big tournament. He ended up winning just over $3,000. Mango, who took fifth on the Melee side, took home a clean $408.90. So,
there you go, man.
Watch out. You can afford your plane ride home. I joke, but it's really a shame that the Smash scene doesn't get any love from Nintendo when it comes to helping out with these tournaments and promoting them and for the prize money. I think it's a bit ridiculous, and I think there's more to it than Nintendo always says. They don't like it because it's not the way they intended their game to be played. I think that's so elementary of them to choose that as a reason to cry about, but that's neither here nor there. Anyways, gentlemen, that's it for the show. It was fun. It was fun going over Cloud9's victory one more time. You guys want to go watch the final map again together?
I just turned it on, actually.
Let's watch it as a... Yeah, let's watch it as a team again.
I will definitely rewatch it at one point in time, especially like
Kelly told me to turn it off last night when I turned it back on in bed.
Really?
I had it on my iPad. She's like, "Babe, you just watched this for 5 hours. Give it a break." I was like, "Just one more time. Just one more time. Just map 3, babe. That's it.
Just map 3.
Just map 3 and talk dirty to me."
Told you, man. That's how you're gonna make a baby watching map 3. Anyways. Episode 91 of The Center Ring is done. I appreciate you all for listening, even if you just skipped around. Listened all the way through. I love you all the same. Again, our Twitter, @TheCenterRing. Hit us up on there. Let me know if you go to church this weekend. You see any of them hotties. Hit us up. #ChurchHot. Let me know. I'm interested in them. We will be back next week to talk about some of these CSGO moves that are happening. Again, our website, tcr.gg, @TheCenterRing on Twitter. For Brett, for Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see you next week.